Okay, so we're looking at Psalm 119.
Thank you, Lord.
The second stanza.
Beth.
Which is Beth.
Beth.
Which is the Welsh word for what? The Hebrew word for house. So we're reading from Psalm 119 and verses 9 to 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Amen.
May Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Lord, just bless this word to us, we pray. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we've got 176 verses in Psalm 119, but it's in the form of an acrostic, where in each stanza of eight verses, each verse begins with a particular letter of the alphabet. So,
yes.
What we looked at last week, each of the eight verses began with a word beginning with Aleph. This week, each word begins with the letter Beth, or each verse starts with a word which begins with the letter Beth. Beth. Not always, as I said last time, the first word that we've got in English. So I'm trying to bring it to the front all the time to give us some sort of guidance. And it's quite interesting to see how things come in a different way. This is an interesting little section because the words that are used here, the words themselves, when they're on their own, don't begin with Beth, apart from one word, which is the word blessed in verse 12. All the other words are the word which is prefixed by the letter Beth.
Yes.
And that prefix, when it comes in front of the word, and it becomes part of the word, it's not separate from the word, it becomes part of the word, gives the sense of in something. The Bible starts with such a word.
Yes.
Bereshith. In the beginning.
In the beginning, yes.
But it's one word in Hebrew, it's not three words as in English, it's one word. Bereshith. In the beginning. So we've got seven verses here that begin with ba. In, or sometimes translated with. And then just one word, almost in the middle, blessed. Baruch atah.
Yes.
Blessed are you, Jehovah. When we look at that, we'll find that some of these verses, some of these words, we have to bring to the front of the verse to get it into the original Hebrew setting.
Yes.
I see in this whole stanza of eight verses, the source of the psalmist's rejoicing and his delight. It's the word of God. In all its different forms, the word of God, whether it's the law, the testimonies, the statutes, the precepts, it's his delight. It's his rejoicing, it's his delight. And the first three verses bring to us the way of cleansing and righteousness.
Yes.
And we start off with a word which means what, but because we've got the but in front of it, it's by me, it's in what?
Yes.
We've got this wonderful word which is really old fashioned English, wherewithal. When did you last use that word? Wherewithal.
That's right.
Wherewithal shall I get the shopping today? With what? Or in what? In Hebrew it's the same. It's the same letter all the way through. In English we have to sort of juggle between in and with. But it's the same idea. In what? In what shall a young man cleanse his way? Or with what shall a young man cleanse his way? It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
To start young. Don't you think so?
Sure.
If you got saved later on in life, you might well be wishing, I wish I got saved when I was younger. But you're saved. And that's what matters.
Amen.
But what is a thing of rejoicing in the scripture is when young people come to know the Lord and can devote their whole lives to serving him.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. When Solomon has gone through all the areas of life where he's looked for satisfaction, for joy, and all the rest of it, couldn't find it, he says these words in Ecclesiastes 12, right at the end. He says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. Get right with the Lord from the beginning. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, I tell you, not by the rules of men, not by church organisations and church procedures.
That's right.
It's one of the things that's coming out, isn't it, with this 500th anniversary. The church has got bogged down over 500 years. The Protestant church has got bogged down with organisation and the rules of men, which is what the Reformation was getting away from.
Of course it was.
Here is what a young man should do to cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to your word.
Yes.
Not just knowing your word, not just being steeped in the word of God, but knowing the word of God, applying it to your life by taking heed thereto. When you take heed, you listen to what's being said, you take it in, and you do what it says. Or what a young man can indeed make that start in life by applying God's word. It's God's word. It's God's word. It's God's word that's being promoted here all the time. Listen to what God is saying and do it. Know the word. Proclaim the word. Live the word. The word of God does not change. That's why we know so many things are going wrong today in the so-called Christian world. You can't change the word of God. It's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And we don't go wrong if we say, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Word of God teaches, this is what we're going to do, this is the way we're going to walk.
Yes.
When young people are led astray by some of the new, strange and weird and wonderful doctrines that are going around, they're off into sinful ways.
Yes.
Selfish indulgence. Take heed to the Word of God. God's Word does not change. Verse 89, I'm jumping ahead in this same psalm, verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is established or settled in heaven.
Yes.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Men may change it down here to mean other things, but in heaven it's settled forever.
Settled.
Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's why the young man should take heed to the word of God. It shows him the way.
The direction
is right. And when we get to middle age and old age, it's still the same.
Yeah.
It shows us the way. We can see clearly where people in this world, or Christians that have gone astray into following the lusts of the flesh and the worldly desires, they can't see the pathway ahead. And verse 130, we're still in the same psalm. Verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light.
Yes.
It gives understanding unto the simple. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Isn't it wonderful? And then that lovely verse in verse 160. Your word is true from the beginning. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. It will never change. Hallelujah. There is truly, as it says in Ephesians, a washing of water by the word. And the word gives light, and the word is so wonderful in our hearts and in our lives. That's why we need to, it's good to come around the Bible. In fact, I had a little thought today. This is not part of the Bible study, but I had a little thought today. I thought, at the end of most meetings, Frank has been churning away there, he's turning his pages, looking at different verses, and by many meetings he comes up at the end and says, and what about that verse? And what about that verse? And he goes, all these things just do. So tonight at the end, if I don't go on too long, a little opportunity for anyway, Frank particularly.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to add and to bring to that word tonight?
Yeah.
It'd be good, wouldn't it? Because Frank has so many, I thought, oh, I wish I'd thought of that. I wish I'd seen that. But no, it's teaching one another, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And we get built up together.
Right.
It shouldn't really be me at the front all the time. You know, this is something that's developed in Christianity. And I know that you will find people preaching in the Bible like Paul did, and Jesus went and preached and talked in the synagogue and so on. But I'm sure back in those days when it was free from all the bondage of rituals and church rituals that have got hold of the church today, I'm sure in those early days of the church, They gathered round together and they shared together the word of God.
Yes.
And let's get back to that, praise God. Yes. So that every person can be not only receiving but giving,
and
sharing. And then in verse 10, wherewithal, with what, in verse 9, that was in Hebrew, that is the first word in the verse as well. And so is this one. With my whole heart, with my whole heart have I sought you. With my whole heart have I sought you. That's how we come to the word. It's about seeking the Lord, seeking his will, seeking what he wants to show to us and speak to us and say to us. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, 14, I'm sure you know these verses very well. He says, and you shall seek me, God was speaking to his people of old, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart.
That's right.
And the promise is, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. We think we've found him. People say, I've found God. But actually, God says, I will be found of you. He lets himself be found. Praise the Lord. And with my whole heart, says the psalmist here in verse 10, have I sought you. That's the only way that we can seek God in a meaningful way. With our whole heart. And our whole heart is there ready to receive what the Lord has for us. Our heart's not being distracted by other things. By worldly desires and things. It's wholly for the Lord. This is the idea. We can't have a divided heart. It's a feature of modern Christianity in the modern world. In the modern Western world, I have to say. Don't let me wander. Don't let me err from your commandments. It's from the whole heart. If we let our heart wander, it will wander from his commandments. There's an erring from his commandments. You notice when we read through the book of Proverbs by Solomon, Proverbs 23 and verse 26, we get this little verse which I've often referred to. The Lord speaking, and he says, my son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. That's what the Lord requires of us.
Right.
Not to get distracted by what's going on out there. It's not the way of many church attenders. We call them that. It's not the way of many church attenders today, is it? They have an eye for the world. They have an eye for going the successful way that the neighbours are going. We need a whole heart for the Lord. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, we've got that warning. And it's a warning that's so appropriate and relevant today, in today's, what can I call it, worldly Christian attitude. In Luke 12 verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And isn't it sad to see that so many people's hearts these days who say they're Christians are following worldly pursuits. Where your treasure is, it shows you where their treasure is. There will your heart be also. Or don't let me wander, says the psalmist here in verse 10. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Do you want to know the consequences of that? Verse 21. Look at verse 21. It's exactly the same word in Hebrew. But instead of using wander, it uses the word err. You have rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from your commandments. They've gone astray. That's the end product. That's what happens. Oh, you say. And there are many who say, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Well, so we are. And by God's grace, God has brought us to a place where we've been born again of his spirit, and he's written his laws in our hearts.
Amen.
We're not under law, we've got the law there. It's part of the new nature.
Right.
If we're born again in the spirit of God, we've got that divine nature.
Yes.
The Bible says we should be partakers of the divine nature.
Yes.
And therefore God's laws are written in our hearts, that's our nature.
Yes.
To do what God has said we should be doing. It leads again to the heart. And so we come to the next verse. Verse 11. And the first word in the sentence in Hebrew, in this case, is in my heart. You see, it brings it into line with what's gone before. With what? With my whole heart. And then in verse 11, in my heart. It's all a response to that first question. And we get these words at the beginning of the sentence. In my heart I've hid your word.
Yes.
With my whole heart have I sought you, and in my heart I have hid your word. Why? So that I might not sin against you. When we've got God's word in our hearts, there is that leading and direction so that I might not sin against you. What a pathway of cleansing the Lord has provided. When we heed his word, when we seek his word with our whole heart, And when God's word, because we come to it day by day, and we should as believers, come to it day by day, feed upon it day by day, we're hiding it in our hearts that it might do its work there. It's the way of cleansing. It's the way of righteousness. So that's how we start off with those first three verses. With what? With my whole heart.
Yeah.
And in my heart. In Hebrew it's the same word. In, or with. In my heart. There it is. Then we come to verse 12 and 13. And verse 12 is in and verse 13 is out. I'll explain what I mean in a moment. But in verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Blessed art thou. Baruch. It's a wonderful word. Jewish people use it all the time. Every time they say a prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God.
Yes.
And then they go on to say their prayer. It's the word blessed. It's so much used in Hebrew amongst the Jews today. And you find it in the scriptures. Isn't it wonderful that we're in a place where we can truly say, blessed be you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You've blessed us. And we want to be a blessing to you.
Yes.
Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Here we need the Lord. It's calling upon the Lord, thanking him for all that he's done for us. But Lord, we need you to teach us. We need you to tell us.
Yes.
We need revelation, Lord.
Yes.
Teach me your statutes. The statutes are those, that aspect of God's law that is written down.
Yes.
Just as in Parliament, statutes are the written law. We have the common law, which is unwritten.
Yes.
Case law, which is how the courts interpret the statutes. And statute law itself, which is what is written down.
That's right.
God has given us his statutes. Things which he's revealed and have been written down. He wrote them down for Moses, the Ten Commandments. And the psalmist said, teach me, Lord. It's one thing to have them down in writing before you. But teach me what they mean, how they should be applied, how I can do these things. Teach us, Lord. Teach us. And we find throughout this psalm, Psalm 119, that is an aspect that's very important. In fact, so important that there are seven references in this psalm to teach me your statutes, Lord.
Yes.
Here it is, one. Verse 12. Teach me your statutes. Verse 26. I have declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. 124. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. 135. Make your face to shine upon thy servant and teach me your statutes. And then 171, just a different angle this time, but 171, my lips shall utter praise. We're getting to the end of the psalm, you see. My lips shall utter praise when you have taught me your statutes. He's looking to the end of this teaching. When will that come? Well, we've got to go through this life. And at the end, we can say, oh, when you've taught me your statutes, when I've taken it all in, when will that be? My lips shall utter praise when you've taught me your statutes. And that's song or chorus? Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Oh, teach us, Lord. Teach us. The Lord has given to us in the New Testament era, he's given to us and poured out upon us his Holy Spirit. And the anointing which we have received of him, it says in 1 John, abides.
Yeah.
And will teach you all things. And so we can truly sing, Spirit of God, my teacher be. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Why? Because now it's no longer a matter of laws written down, but laws written in our hearts, part of our nature. Show me your way, Lord. And so he says, teach me your statutes. I want revelation, Lord.
Yes.
I want revelation from you. Don't want the teaching, the teaching of men are okay, provided it's in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But I need revelation. We need revelation. And even though we have teaching in the church, it's of no use unless it comes to you and you get that revelation from God and God speaking to your heart.
Yes.
What his word is. And then there's an outflow. So he's praying for an inflow, teach me. And then he says in verse 13, with my lips. There's that word again, with my lips.
Yes.
So that is the first part of the verse again. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. All the ways, God, your word has been applied to my life.
Yeah.
And I want to declare it that others may know.
Amen.
What comes in,
yeah, comes
we've got to declare.
Yeah.
He doesn't sort of fill us so we can have a fun time and that's it. He wants to bless us that we might declare it to others. We receive it from him. We declare to the church because we want to build each other up, edify. And we declare to the world outside because we want to see them saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 11. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes.
For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed.
Yes.
There's a receiving, there's a confession.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And then we come to the last three verses. So we've had three verses to begin with, to do with how we're going to cleanse our ways and to go on with the Lord. We bless the Lord, we want his revelation, and we want to declare that. And then at the end here, verses 14, 15 and 16, I'll tell you how they will start, because it's not as they are in English. In verse 14, it starts, in the way. In verse 15, it starts, in your precepts. And in verse 16, it starts, in your statutes.
Yes.
There are the three ways. In your way, in your precepts, in your statutes. In the way. What's happened there? I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies.
Yeah.
There's a rejoicing there. I have rejoiced. That's been my experience of my testimony. I've rejoiced in your testimonies. The record of all that you have done and provided. It's faithful. It's a full witness of God's way. The testimonies. The testimonies of what God has done. It's all part of the law. God's testimonies are revealed in the law as well. It's another expression of what God has revealed. But I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. What could be said about what you have done and what you have provided? How much has he rejoiced in that way? He says, as much as in all riches.
Yes.
Wow, what about that? Is that how you regard the word of God? Is that how you regard the way that he's dealt with you? As much as all riches. Oh, hallelujah. That's God's way, you see. That's God's way. The way that leads to death is the way that man sees. There is a way, it says in Proverbs, that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
Twice it says it, Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16.
Yeah.
It's absolutely certain. Man's ideas, man's view of life, is going to end in death. But there's a way that ends in life. And when we come to the New Testament, we find that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. His testimonies never fail. And when we think of what he has done, or can we think of it as much as all riches?
Yes.
This is a test, isn't it? Because they are. We're not just playing with words here. This is reality. That what God has done and what God wants to do are greater than all riches that this world can give you.
Right.
What could be better than having eternal life? You can live all your life stocking up riches in this world to make yourself look good and to enjoy life. But in the end, what comes? You fool, says God, tonight your soul is required of you.
Yeah. But what will a man give in exchange for his
soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And the Bible speaks, if you read through the New Testament, it speaks about, again and again, of the riches of his grace.
Right.
And it speaks about the riches of his glory.
Amen.
And Ephesians, it says, the exceeding riches of his grace. And Ephesians 3 and verse 8, it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Beyond our imagination. Even Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11 and 26, when Moses chose not to be an Egyptian, but to be identified with the people of God,
yes,
it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ.
Yes.
Now we're thinking of the blessings of God here,
yes,
but Moses esteemed, he esteemed the reproach that comes with being the Lord's. The reproach of Christ, greater riches,
yes,
than the treasures of Egypt.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. All that we might get into that attitude with regard to the blessings of God and the word of God. Don't forget, Luke 12:34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What a test. for today's believers. Therefore, we need to have that determination. And he says, in your precepts, verse 15, in your precepts. Now, God's precepts are his commands, especially those commands which bring with them warning. Do not do this. Do not do that.
Your precepts, that's right.
Do not murder. Do not steal. And so on. I will meditate on them. Keep them over and over and over in thoughts and mind. I'm going to meditate on them. I'm going to think about them all the time. And have respect unto your ways. If we have respect unto God's ways, we're going to be following the right pathway. Because the wisdom of the world will say that's rubbish. But we want to meditate upon what God has given. God's prohibitions. God's you must not do this, must not do that. Therefore, our blessing for our benefit. That we should not perish. They keep us from falling. Often they're about areas where we're tempted to go. And we need to meditate carefully and consider, as the psalmist did. And then he says, in your statutes, verse 16. What's he going to do with the statutes of God? The written word of God. That which is recorded.
Delight.
He's going to delight.
Amen.
I will delight myself in your statutes. He will delight himself in the Lord. He's going to delight himself in the statutes. His revelation, God's revelation, which are there for all to see. What God has revealed in his word. Here, in here we have his written word. Here we have his statutes. It's there for all to read. Everyone in Pixie can pick this book up and read it. The Bible. It's there, it's available. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
What a wonderful psalm this is, and what a wonderful section of this psalm is, that is found in what way he can cleanse his life, his way, by taking heed to God's word. And that's what the psalm is about, and that's what this passage is about. And it's a matter of the whole heart and that word of God being hidden in the heart. So we can bless the Lord for all that the Lord has provided and say, teach me, Lord, teach me more. And he can declare with his lips to others how the Lord has blessed him.
Amen.
And he can say to the Lord, in these ways, in the way of your testimonies, I have rejoiced. I'm going to meditate in your precepts. I'm going to have respect to your ways. And I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. He's totally won over to the word of God. All that we might. See the emphases in these verses where the words come to the front. What's so important? Again and again and again, it's in our heart, in our heart, with my whole heart, your word I've hidden my, it's with our hearts, and it's in his testimonies, his precepts, and in his statutes. It's the word of God. That's what's going in the heart.
Yes.
It all comes together. In a whole. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Any thoughts, Frank?
Just something that what you were just speaking about. Psalm 1 brings it all into perspective.
Blessed is the man.
Yes. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is on the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in season, and whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
There is the benediction, if you like, on that passage we just read. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night.
Thank you, Lord. He shall be
like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that an appropriate
Amen.
Application to that particular
Thank you, Lord.
Passage of eight verses we've looked at?
Yes.